Thinking about Thanksgiving, but I decided not to, as did Jack, so it worked out today. Neither one of us did. But Jack Boswell mentioned a few things about Thanksgiving, so I appreciated that very much. I'm going to talk about a topic that, you know, we can be thankful for, of course. I'm going to talk about wisdom, where to find wisdom. I've titled this sermon, Wisdom is Not Found in Darkness. Now, this time of year, you know, we see a lot of people that delve into darkness, you know, not to mention the fact that it does get physically dark, you know, and people are, you know, they're home left with their thoughts and they're wondering about things. We're going to talk about true wisdom, though, and how to find it. We're going to start in the book of Proverbs. There are two women that are mentioned in the book of Proverbs that we're going to talk about today. Now, these aren't actual women. They're not actual biblical characters, but they're representations, personifications. They represent two sides of a choice that we have to make, that every human being has to make. And the book of Proverbs is, you know, the way that it's introduced and throughout most of its chapters, it kind of seems like it's written for young men, but these lessons apply to all of us. The wisdom that is in the book of Proverbs and all throughout Scripture is good for everyone. And we're able to apply all the lessons that we learn. Now, the first woman that we're going to talk about is sin personified. This is the negative option, the negative choice that we could make. Sin personified. If we turn to Proverbs chapter 7, we see this character introduced as an immoral woman, a seductress. It says that in verse 5 that she flatters with her words. Now we're going to think about this as, you know, not just from the standpoint of that young man here, but as the target audience for this book of Proverbs. Now, the book of Proverbs is written to the simple, or those who need understanding, those who need wisdom. And this is what we need. And so we're going to go through this. Now, it says down in verse 6 of Proverbs chapter 7, talking about this seductress, this immoral woman. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice. And this is from the standpoint of Solomon, as if he's looking out. And I looked through my lattice, and I saw among the simple, among these, you know, just people who need wisdom, understanding, I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house. So this young man goes out, and he has this choice to make. And he goes out in the evening, in darkness, in the dark of night, in the twilight, it says in verse 9, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Mankind has a habit of searching for wisdom, searching for truth, in darkness, and in all the wrong places. They're trying to find what is hidden away, but they're not looking to God for those answers, for the truth that they're seeking. Darkness conceals everything from sight. There are secret things. Things that are intended to be hidden away so that no one knows them. These are put away in darkness. And this is where man searches for them. Man searches for those secrets, trying to figure out what is true and trying to figure out, you know, the secrets of the universe people talk about. And scientists argue about what darkness is. Is it, you know, is it an entity in itself, or is it just the absence of light? And people try to find prosperity deep in dark places in the earth. And some of them look to the stars for those answers. These are all places that are darkness. There is no knowledge apart from God in those places. Now, the word translated as darkness in several places in Scripture, at least in the New Testament, is a Greek word, skotia. And Strong's defines this word as dimness or obscurity. So this gives us a good picture of what darkness represents in this proverb. Obscurity, dimness, something that's not made plain something that is not well understood. Thayer's Greek lexicon defines darkness, the same word skotia, as a want of daylight, so as in nighttime. Without daylight, there's nighttime. It also could be used to describe unseen things, things in secret, in private, metaphorically used of ignorance of divine things. So this darkness, when somebody is in darkness, they're ignorant of the truth, ignorant of divine things, things that only God knows. Now, people often search for things in dark places, in things that, you know, in places that are more obscure, and they don't find the truth. Now, it was in darkness, like we mentioned before, that this immoral woman met this young man. And he was looking for something. He was trying to discover the truth, discover true wisdom, the right way. In verse 10, "And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home." In verse 13, "She caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent face," here she begins to talk to him with those flattering words that we read about earlier. Now, this young man was searching for something, but he looked in the wrong place. He looked in darkness. He didn't look for the truth. And here at this point, he has a choice to make. Is he going to follow into this darkness, the dark of night, or is he going to turn away and seek true wisdom? Now, there are consequences for our choices. In verse 21 here, it says, "With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield." So that's his decision that he made. He made the wrong decision here. "With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter." So we see here the consequences for his actions, the consequences for seeking truth in places where there is no truth. It says, "Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life." These are the consequences for negative choices. And it's not that we can't turn back, but we still have to deal with the consequences sometimes. And we're giving warnings here in the Proverbs about staying away from temptations, staying away from things that lead us to sin, things, places that are in the darkness. And we should pay attention to these words. These are not just words for young men. They're not just words for people who don't know God's truth, who don't have a bit of His wisdom. These are words for all of us. It says in verse 24, "Now therefore listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways," to this temptress, these temptations that we face in life, the sins that are drawing us away. "Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell," or the grave, "descending to the chambers of death." So this is the way of life. This is representative of the way of life that leads to death, the way of life that's against what God would have us to do. Now it says in verse 26, "All who were slain by her were strong men." People that think that they're strong, that they can handle the temptation, that they can put themselves in these situations, to look in dark places and be okay, come out all right. But that's not what we read here. We see that even people who are strong, even those who have something, who have a bit of wisdom that God has given them, if they turn towards the darkness and search in dark places for wisdom, for the wisdom that they're after, the end of that way is death. That's the consequence for that way of life. But man continues to search in dark places. And we have these words sitting here. They've been here for thousands of years. And people still don't read them. People still search in dark places for precious things. Now let's turn over to the book of Job. This is another book that's considered to be full of wisdom and knowledge, understanding about physical things, about how the world works, but also spiritual things. And we get a bit of both in Job chapter 28. And we see here Job is describing man's hunt for precious things, for physical wealth, for precious stones and metals that are hidden deep in the earth. In verse 1, Job 28, verse 1, "Surely there is a mine for silver, and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth, and copper is smelted from ore. Man puts an end to darkness and searches every recess for ore in the darkness and the shadow of death." So in these deep places, these places that are hidden away. Now, of course, it's not wrong to dig for gold and find precious metals and precious stones. But this is representative of searching in a place where there is no truth, in those dark places. And man is always trying to find his own way to find the truth. And this is also representative of that. In verse 4, "He breaks open a shaft away from people, in places forgotten by feet. They hang far away from men, they swing to and fro. As for the earth, from it comes bread, but underneath it is turned up as by fire." So we have these bits and pieces of, I don't know, a little bit of science here, describing how things work underneath the ground. In verse 6, "Its stones are the source of sapphires, and it contains gold dust." So these precious things that man is after. "That path no bird knows, nor has the falcon's eye seen it. The proud lions have not trodden it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. He puts his hand on the flint. He overturns the mountains at the roots. He cuts out channels in the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing." He's searching for something precious, something that he believes can sustain him in the earth here. It says, verse 11, "He dams up the streams from trickling. What is hidden, he brings forth to light." He brings up what he's found, you know, so he can see it, so he can handle it. But again, this is searching in these dark places, searching for things that aren't important, that aren't really precious. In verse 12, it says, "But where can wisdom be found?" So he brings out what's really precious, what we should be searching for. "And where is the place of understanding?" Now, these are the things that we should be searching for, that we want, that we need in our lives. Just like the Proverbs were written to the simple, those who need wisdom and understanding, these are the things that we should search for. And knowledge about our future. But we can't find these in dark places. Verse 13 says, "Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living." The things that we need, the wisdom that we need, isn't found among men. It's not found any place that we look. The deep says in verse 14, "It is not in me." And the sea says, "It is not with me." It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry or fine gold. These elements that people sometimes strive for, these other precious things that they find in these dark places that don't really amount to anything. Verse 18, "No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold." Verse 20, "From where then does wisdom come?" This is where we start to perk up a little bit. Well, we're looking in all these places where we think something has to be hidden there, because nobody goes there. Something has to be there. I mentioned earlier, some people look to the stars or to outer space. There's got to be something else there, but they don't look to God. They don't look to where God is. It says, "And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, 'We have heard a report about it with our ears.'" Some people look to the dead for understanding. But it's not there. In verse 23, God understands its way, and he knows its place. God is the one who created wisdom. He holds it. It's with him always. Let's turn to the Proverbs. Back to the Proverbs. We'll read Proverbs 8. Now this is another personification here. And this is interesting because it shows us that wisdom has always existed with God, true wisdom. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. So before even these physical places that people look for wisdom, wisdom was there with God before anything was created that has been created. When there were no depths, in verse 24, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters could not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. And this is something that God wants to give to the sons of men, it says. This is intended for them, his wisdom. But it's always been with him, and he is the source of this true wisdom. It's not found in any dark places. There's a verse in Job that we didn't read, but it says that, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. In several places it describes that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, it says in the Proverbs. And to depart from evil is understanding. So to get away from these dark places, things that are not true, places that don't hold any truth, that's the beginning of true wisdom. And we already got in a little bit to this personification of wisdom here, this second woman that we're going to read about. We know that wisdom has always been with God. Now let's turn back to, Proverbs 7. The first few verses of Proverbs 7. So again, as if Solomon is writing this to his son. He says, my son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. And then verse 4, he writes, say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin. So we're supposed to keep wisdom and understanding close to us. That true wisdom that we're supposed to search out from God. Verse 5, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. And then it gets into that first woman, that seductress, the immoral woman, the representative of sin personified. But here we have wisdom personified. Wisdom is the protector of the righteous. It keeps us from harm. God's wisdom keeps us from harm. Here we have a warning to keep it close so that we can be safe from that temptation, the temptations of sin that pull us out of safe places, those dark places we want to stay away from. Now, wisdom has the same audience as sin and temptation, those who are simple, it calls them in Proverbs, those who need wisdom and need understanding. And wisdom, too, calls out to us. At least, you know, this personification, it's as if somebody's crying out to us. It's something that we're supposed to have, that we should seek after. Now let's turn to Proverbs 1. In Proverbs 1, we see this personification at the beginning of the the book here. Now, the one huge difference between these two persons, these two women, is that one is deceptive. One hides behind corners, doesn't go out during the daytime. One is in the nighttime, in the darkness only, but still cries out, but it's you know, it singles someone out and goes after them. That's sin, the temptation. But wisdom is not deceptive. God's truth is not deceptive. It's plain. It's honest and open. And it's spoken in daylight rather than in the darkness. In Proverbs 1, verse 22, and we'll start with verse 20. Let's start with verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates, in the city. She speaks her words. And these are the words that we're given, the wisdom that we're given through this character here in the Proverbs. Verse 22, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? So these are warnings. You know, God doesn't always give us these nice, friendly words to hear. Now, sometimes he does. Sometimes he tells us that he loves us, that he cares for us. And because he loves us and cares for us, sometimes he has to rebuke us. He has to tell us differently, tell us that we need to change. We have to change what we're doing. But do we delight in simplicity? You know, do we want to stay without knowledge, without wisdom? Or do we seek after wisdom? It says, for scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Again, this is wisdom, as if wisdom were talking. Because I have called, and you refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no one regarded. So this is speaking to those who are without wisdom. Because you disdained all my counsel, and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. Now, these are warnings. These are warnings for us. If we refuse wisdom, if we don't take it seriously, if we don't seek after true wisdom, these are warnings for us. Verse 27, when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. This is where it starts. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way. Those consequences we're reminded of for our choices. And will be filled to the full with their own fancies. So whatever we choose, if we choose the easy way out, our own fancies, the things that we desire, you know, if that's not according to what God desires for us, that's what we'll have. That will be our reward instead of wisdom. Verse 32, for the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Now here at the end, we see that wisdom finishes her rebuke with hope. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. So in wisdom, in God's wisdom, there is rebuke, but there is also hope. The false wisdom that's found in the darkness, in dark places, that doesn't provide any hope. It's hopeless. It's empty. It's something that doesn't last. But here we have this hope, this security without fear of evil. I keep hitting the microphone. I apologize. Now, if we continue, we're going to continue on into chapter 2. We're going to see that there are blessings from seeking wisdom, more than just that security, no longer being in fear. Verse 1 says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment, and lift up your voice for understanding. So, you know, God calls us. His wisdom cries out to us. We want to know more, but we have to call back. We have to strive for that wisdom. We have to want that discernment it talks about. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. These are the blessings of following God's wisdom. We'll understand who God is. We'll have His knowledge put into our minds and in our hearts so that we can understand His plan. It says in verse 6, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly." Verse 8, "He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path." We'll understand what's right if we accept God's wisdom, if we go after it, if we seek it out, and we answer that calling. And we see through these two personifications, we see sin is found in darkness. And we see that wisdom and truth are in light. They're not in the darkness. They're in light. Darkness is the absence of light, at least according to most scientists. Now Daniel, we're going to read in the book of Daniel. Daniel had a wonderful reputation of having light and understanding. The kings of Babylon and the Medes and Persians, they knew this about him. They'd heard this about him, that he had this light from God, this wisdom and understanding that only God can provide. Daniel chapter 2. The king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and we're not going to go into his dream today. That's a whole another topic. But he had this dream, and he initially sought wisdom from dark places, or from those who looked in dark places for wisdom, for answers. And Daniel had to explain it to him that that's not where you find the answers that you're looking for. That's not where you find the truth, the wisdom that you're after. Verse 27, Daniel chapter 2, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king." Now these people, these soothsayers, these astrologers, we know astrologers look to the stars. They look at how the stars move and the constellations for their answers. That's a dark place where God doesn't hide truth in those stars. He has it. The light that comes from Him, the light that is His, contains the knowledge and the understanding. Now even these magicians, you know, they got their answers from vain mumblings or from incantations. In another place, it talks about sorcerers. You know, sorcerers look to the dead for their answers. They try to see if there's somebody who had died who they think can give them their answers, when really it's a demon. They look to the demons, to Satan, for those answers. And we see that, you know, that personification of sin sounded a lot like Satan, rebellious, antagonistic, after us, coming after us. This is the place where King Nebuchadnezzar initially sought wisdom. He didn't understand the truth yet. But God gave him Daniel to set him straight. Now, I don't know if Nebuchadnezzar was called to know the truth by the end of his life. I don't know. It seems to show that maybe he did understand by the time he was at the end of his life. In verse 28 it says, "But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and He has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days." And Daniel goes on to explain to him this dream. But God was the source of the knowledge, the wisdom. God was the source of the dream. So of course, He's the only one who would be able to interpret it properly. Now Daniel didn't only interpret the dream, but he also told the king what the dream was. The king didn't tell anyone, but Daniel already knew. Now let's look back in verse 20. We see here, Daniel explains to us, I don't think the king heard this part, but he's explaining to us through this prayer that he prayed to God where this wisdom comes from, where this light comes from. In verse 20, Daniel answered, so he's answering God, and he said, "Blessed be the God, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons." I think that's remarkable that God can even change the times and the seasons. He's in control of the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness. So if there's something that's hidden, he knows about it. If there's something that he doesn't want us to know, he won't reveal it to us yet. But if there's something that we do need to know, then he will show it to us. He will reveal it to us at the right time. It says, he knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. There is no darkness where God is, because light dwells with him. There are no dark places. If we want to know the truth, we don't want to peer into obscurity anymore. We can look to him, look to that light. Now the word that's translated light here, it's an Aramaic word. Let's see if I can pronounce it. Nahiru. The definition says illumination, or figuratively wisdom. So this word refers to wisdom. This light that Daniel had, this light that dwells with God, is illumination. It's wisdom. We see this opposite between darkness and light, between false things, things in the darkness, and wisdom, the true wisdom from God. The wisdom from God is associated in Scripture with light, with illumination, with making things no longer obscure. God gives us light. He shows us the truth. He demonstrates it to us. And he makes it known to us so that we can follow it, so that we can understand it, so that we can know his plan. Now some continue to turn to false worship. They continue to place God's name and Christ's name where it doesn't belong. And they go after these places that don't have hope, or these beliefs that don't have hope. And they're searching for something good, but there's nothing good in those dark places. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is writing to the Corinthians here, and he mentions the ministry that we have, our job that we have to do is to preach the gospel. He's encouraging them here, and he says in verse 2, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." So we're supposed to be doing good in the eyes of God. It says in verse 3, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, put in obscurity, in darkness, so that they cannot see God, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. Now is not the time for everybody to be given this light, to be given this wisdom. Some are left in obscurity, in blindness." It says in verse 5, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This is this truth that we've been given, this wisdom, the knowledge of who God is, the message that we've been given, the understanding of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the future, the hope that we have. This is this wonderful illumination that God has given us of his plan. And we shouldn't take it for granted. It's our only hope. It's a real hope, something that matters. Let's turn to one more scripture here. We'll turn to James chapter 3. Now, James wrote a lot about speaking the truth. We have to be able to bridle our tongues, to only speak the truth. He also talks about wisdom. See, let's start in verse 13. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." So if we have this wisdom, we have to use it. We have to follow it. "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic." This other wisdom, this knowledge that's found in darkness. There is knowledge there, but it's the wrong knowledge. It comes from the wrong source. Verse 16, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." God is not the author of confusion. He doesn't put us in confusion. He doesn't leave us in confusion, in obscurity. Verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." So this is the wisdom that we're supposed to seek, that wisdom from above. That light from above that God gives, that illumination of the truth, and a true way of life. Now, in this time of darkness, there are many, many dark, dark happenings all over the world. People that are not seeking God, fewer and fewer. We have to be careful to continue to seek this true light, this true wisdom that we've been given, that we've been shown by God. We have to heed the warnings that we read about in the Proverbs. Those warnings to stay away from those dark places, from that temptation. We have to remember that it's the true God who gives true wisdom. It's God who gives the light. And wisdom is not found in darkness.